So this is a continuing volume 14, October the 6th, 1922. The first plane of the human acts changed into the divine acts in the divine will was done by Jesus, and Louisa is the first one to live in the divine will. I was praying to my beloved Jesus came, throwing his arms around my neck and told me, "My daughter, let us pray together. Let us enter into the immense sea of my will, so that nothing may come from you which is not plunged into divine will. The thought, the word, the heartbeat, the work, the step, everything must take place in my will. For each thing you do in the divine will, you will take one more possession and acquire a greater right." Therefore, you see that every single act makes an enormous difference. He said, for every act you do in the divine will, you take one more possession. In other words, you take a greater possession of the divine will and you acquire a greater right from him. That's a little VIP piece you need to put there to remind yourself. All human acts, according to the purpose of creation, were to have life in my volition. They were all meant to be done in the divine will. And they were to form in the divine will their plane of all human acts changed into divine acts. So the operating level was to be all human acts in the divine acts. With the mark of supreme nobility, sanctity and wisdom. It was not our will that man would withdraw from us, but that he would live with us, growing in our likeness and operating with our own manners, my book says, our own ways. Okay? This is why I wanted all his acts to be done in the divine will, to give him the place in which to form his own little river within the immense sea of my will. Now, you know that one of the phenomena in the ocean is that you can have little currents in the ocean and the water is in the water, but they have their own special little currents. And that's what Jesus is saying, that each one of us in the divine will have our own little currents in the great sea of the divine will. I acted like a father who possessed great lands and said to his son, "I give you possession of the center of my possessions so that you may not go out of my boundaries and may grow in my riches." Now, when you get up to volumes over volume 20, you'll hear Louisa saying frequently, I am submerged in the sea of the divine will and I can't see any boundaries. I can't see any way out, because that's what he's saying here. That you may not go out of my boundaries and may grow in my riches with my own nobility and with the greatness of my works. And so that all may recognize that you are my son. That is if we operate in the divine will. What would one say of him if he did not accept the great gift of his father and went to foreign lands to live in misery, ennobling himself under the slavery of cruel enemies? That's a very good little summary of Luke 15, the younger son, the prodigal son. Okay. He said, such was man. So here you have an insight into the fact that the story of the prodigal son is actually the story of the human race. Now, this plane, this little river in my volition, I want it from you. That's Louisa and, of course, us after her. Let each one of your thoughts flow in it. That's 2 Corinthians 10:5. All your thoughts be captured and given to Christ. And I also want to give you Ephesians 4:23. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Ephesians 4:23. So let each one of your thoughts flow in divine will, so that in the reflections of our intelligence, which is the thought of everyone, it may rise over each intelligence and give us the homage of each thought in a divine manner. So we have a little prayer that some of us say as soon as we wake up in the morning. Lord, let my mind and my will rise in your divine will to cover all the intelligences of creatures so that they may rise in your will. Okay, that's what he's talking about here. Let your words and your works flow as well in the divine will, so that in the reflection of our word, which is fiat, which made all things and is the word of everyone, and in the reflection of the sanctity of our works, which is the life and motion of everything, they may rise and hover over everything, giving us the glory of each word, each work, with our own fiat and with the very sanctity of our works. So we need to be careful to understand that we say to the Lord, I love you with your own love. You know, I want to worship you with your own worship and so on in your divine will. My daughter, Jesus said, if all that is human, if all that is human, be it even one thought, is not done in my will, the human plane takes no possession. We need to take that really on board, because we can think we're in the divine will when we're actually not. If even one thought, he said, that's why every thought has got to be captured and given to Christ. If the human plane doesn't take possession and the little river is not formed, and my will cannot descend upon the earth to make itself known and to reign. Okay. So every thought must be captured and given to Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5. On hearing this, Louisa said, my love, Jesus, how is it possible that after so many centuries of life in the church, which put out so many saints, and many of them have astonished heaven and earth with their virtues and with the wonders that they performed, how is it that they did not operate fully in the divine will, so as to form this plane that you are talking about? Were you waiting just for me? Louisa finds this hard to take on board. I don't blame her, do you? Were you waiting just for me, the most unable, the most cativa, the little, bad little one and ignorant one, in order to do this? It seems just incredible. I like her reacting like that. And Jesus said, listen, my daughter, my wisdom has ways and means, we would say, which man ignores, such as he is obliged to lower his forehead and adore in mute silence. And it's not up to him to dictate to me the laws. That's pretty ordinary, isn't it? Whom I should choose and the appropriate time. In other words, creatures cannot dictate God's agenda. It's that simple. So you can't dictate the laws, you can't dictate whom I choose, you can't dictate the proper time which my goodness disposes. Besides, number one, first I had to form the saints who were able to resemble me and copy my humanity in a more perfect way. What you underline is my humanity, as much as possible for them. And this I've already done, he said, in all these saints. Now, number two, my goodness wants to go beyond this and wants to give in to greater excesses of love. And therefore, I want them to enter into my humanity and copy what the soul of my humanity did in the divine will. So this is a much, much higher level that where the whole church is being called. This is all VIP, vital stuff. Okay. If the first saints cooperated with my redemption in order to save souls and to teach the law and to banish sin, being limited within the centuries in which they lived. So you can't operate something that people in the year 3000 is going to do. We don't live there. We can only operate in the place that we're in. So we're limited within the centuries in which we live. The second group, that's the group that will copy the soul of Jesus' humanity in the divine will. The second group will go beyond this, copying what the soul of my humanity did in the divine will. So the first group of saints imitating Jesus in his humanity, the second group imitating him in his divine will. That's the second group, will embrace all centuries, all creatures, and rising above all, will put in force the rights of creation which are due to me and which concern all creatures. Now notice the universality of this. Bringing all things to the first origin of creation. We've got to go back to the point where Adam left off, and we've got to pick up from that point. So the way forward is backward for a while. Or as we say, the way up is down, because you begin with humility. So we go back to the first origin of creation and to the purpose for which creation was delivered. That is, that human beings would live in unity with the divine will. Everything is ordered in me. All creatures are in Christ. And that's why he redid all humanity in his entire life. If I issued creation, it must return to me ordered. So you look at the front of your book and we're in the call to return to the order and the place for which God actually created us. So everything, the human being must return to God ordered, just as it came out of my hands. So I want to give you Colossians 1, 16 to 20. Colossians 1, 16 to 20, that God will complete the work that he began in us, us as a human race, and us as individuals as well. Now, the first plane of the human acts changed into divine in my will. This was done by me. I left it as though suspended, and the creature, except for my dear and inseparable mother, knew nothing. This was necessary. If man did not know the way, the door, the rooms of my humanity, how could he enter inside of me and copy what I did? So you can see that all the searching for holiness was to find out the imitation of Christ. Okay. Now the time has come for the creature to enter into this plane and also do something of her own within mine. This is John 14, 12. And it's only in the divine will that it makes sense that disciples will do greater works even than I did when I go back to the Father. They will do the same as I did, sometimes even greater. We don't know what the greater is, however. What is the wonder if I have called you as the first one? Besides, it's so true that I have called you as the first, since no other soul. Here's the evidence you need if you're teaching other people. No other soul, though dear to me, to no other soul have I manifested the way to live in my will. This is it. That's God speaking. Okay. And there's your answer for anybody who asks the question. How on earth could Louisa be the first? He said, no matter how dear the person was to him, he did not reveal his will. Therefore, they can't have it. And I did not reveal the effects of the divine will, the wonders and the goods which the creature operating in the supreme will actually receives. Check as many lives of saints as you want and books of doctrines, and in none of them will you find the prodigies of my volition operating in the creature and of the creature operating in it. In other words, check out all the teaching of the church. It's just not there. This revelation is being made for the first time. Okay. There's a text that's just come to my mind. I can prepare all this stuff. And it's only as I'm reading it, proclaiming it, that texts come to mind. And it's Isaiah 43. Now, unfortunately, I can't remember the verse at this moment, but it says, there's no need to remember the past. There's no need to remember what I've done before. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Okay, so that had its application at various levels, but now it has its application at the divine level. So it's Isaiah 43. So at the most, he said, you will find resignation to the divine will and union of wills. That is, many of them have reached actual union with God. But in none of them will you find the divine will operating in her and she in it. In other words, their actions are not divine. They're human actions full of grace. Is that all right? This means that the time had not come in which my goodness was to call the creature to live in this sublime state. Even the very way I make you pray cannot be found anywhere else. Well, that's true, isn't it? Therefore, be attentive. My justice demands this, my love raves, so my wisdom disposes everything in order to obtain the intent. It is the rights, the glory of creation that we want from you. So there's a section that really needs an enormous amount of attention. So October the 9th, 1922. This is another VIP one. The human will acting in the divine. It follows up from the last one. Continue in my usual state, my beloved Jesus came all tenderness, clasping me in his arms, and he kissed me, and he said to me, who knows how many times, my daughter, the daughter of my will, how dear you are to me. Listen, as your will enters into mine, it empties itself of you. Now, you see, we're in volume 14. And when you're back at volumes 1 to 4, you're being told time and time again, you must put your own will aside. You must put your own ego aside to let God's will come in and to let the divine will and the divine love take over. Okay. So here you get it here. As your will enters into mine, it empties itself of you. And mine enters in, acting in you. And as mine acts, yours receives the strength of the creative power and remains acting in me. Now, you get that very simply in Tony's little book, You Desire It, I Do It. Okay. But here you have it in wonderful words from Jesus. And since I am one single point, now this is very, very important. The astrophysicists have declared in recent times, as in the last couple of years, that they have managed to discover creation going actually beyond the Big Bang. You know, they've gone beyond the Big Bang. And what have they arrived at? What they call a singularity. And here you're being told that the divine will is that singularity. Now, if only they could put the words divine will on it, they have the entire solution. But they're not going to do that. Since I am a single point, everything comes out of this single point. Now, a single point can't have past and future, can it? So when we're praying in the divine will, we're automatically, according to our language, praying past, present and future. Why? Because we're within space and time, but that singularity is totally outside of space and time. It has no past and no future. It's all present. So since I am one single point, so you can understand why God said to Moses, I am. And you can add that I am or who I am or whatever else. He simply said, I am. Now, I am in Greek is ego eimi. E-G-O is I and eimi, E-I-M-I is am. And that's what Jesus said to the apostles when he walked on the water in the storm. They said, who are you? And he said, ego eimi. And at long last they realized he was divine. It didn't stay, of course, because when we're in the flesh, things don't really stay as long as they would like. So since I am one single point containing everything, embracing everything, doing everything. Now, it's not difficult for a single point to have everything in it. It's a concentrated point. OK, it's harder to think of something bigger holding everything because you'd say there isn't enough space or there isn't enough weight or there isn't enough volume or whatever. But a single point, yes. I see your will acting in me with my own creative power. Now, that creative power produced everything in the universe. Wanting to give me everything. And to repay me for all. And to my highest contentment, I see it before me from the very first instant in which I issued the whole of creation. So from the whole of creation, he has seen this little tiny creature acting in his will. Because there's no time, you see. Leaving all behind, it comes forward as if you were the first one to be created by me, in whom no split of wills exists between you and me. Now, here you have it underlined greatly that you cannot be in divine will without having union with God. It's not actually possible. Therefore, this is the highest spirituality that's actually available to the human being. There's no split of wills. That means there's union of wills. Okay. And so with that union of wills and one will completely surrendered to the other one, then the divine will can actually reign on the earth. So just as I have wanted it was just as I wanted the first man to be. So he's saying to Louisa, it's the same to me as if you were the first one I created, because you are living in the divine will. Adam lived in it for a while and then he opted out. But you're still living in it. As far as I'm concerned, we have one person on the earth living in the divine will. And this will in you gives me honour, glory, love, as if creation had not gone out of my will. So my book says, what taste, I think the word should be satisfaction. What satisfaction and what contentment I feel. You cannot understand it. The order of creation is given back to me, flickering of the stars on everything.